You don't know how glad I am to see you tonight. I was wondering if I'd have any competition with the president speaking. But I'm glad you're here. I want to give you some scripture verses that you can be looking up and having your finger on them, these three different ones. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, and chapter 2, 1 through 5, and 41 through 11. 41 through 11. I read an interesting story about a guy, his name was Larry Waters. In 1997, he did a stunt I think that should be recorded the highest feat in aerobatics or whatever. Anyhow, let me just tell you the story. Larry had always loved airplanes. And after he had finished high school, he joined the Air Force to become a pilot. But his poor eyesight denied him that privilege, and he was soon discharged. He was sitting in his backyard and just watching. He lived near the Los Angeles airport, and he loved to sit and watch those sleek jets come in, those big airliners, you know, they come in and just seem to glide in. And suddenly a thought came to him, and it so thrilled him, he jumped out of his chair in the backyard and got in his car, and he went to the Army and Navy, what do you call those stores? Supply stores, whatever. But anyhow, he bought 40 weather balloons and several tanks of helium. And when he got back home, he tied his lawn chair to his Jeep. And then he tied all 40 of those weather balloons to his chair. And he began to inflate them. And when they were inflated, they created a canopy of about 40 foot wide. Huge. And he got in his... He blowed up the balloons. And he got in his chair. He kind of tested it out. And it looked, well, this is going to work. Now, his idea was that he was going to fill these and cut the rope that held he had tied to the front of his Jeep. And he was going to cut the rope and maybe lift, slide, you know, just glide up a little bit and be above the treetops and above the city. And then he could just maybe sail like a heel, you know, like one of these balloons that you ride in. And so he got in the chair and he tied himself in and he fixed him some sandwiches and got him a 6-pack of water, you know, and he had a pellet gun that he was going to shoot the balloons when he wanted to come down. So he got in his chair and he cut the rope and he was expecting to go up, and he shot up like he was shot out of a shotgun. He didn't stop at 30 feet. He didn't stop at 100 feet. He didn't stop at 1,000 feet. He finally settled off at 11,000 feet above Los Angeles in a lawn chair. And he was so cold and so frightened, he didn't know what he was going to do. He floated around over the city for 14 hours, and finally he drifted over to the across where the airport was, and a jumbo United Airlines plane came in, and the pilot spotted him and called it in that there was a crazy man up there flying around in a lawn chair. Well, immediately the military lacks got into business, and immediately the military sent up a helicopter to check him out. In the meantime, the breeze had blown him several miles over the ocean. It gets worse all the time. And the helicopter got close enough that they could see that he really wasn't dangerous. And so they tried to rescue him. And every time they got close to him, they just pushed him away. So they finally got about 100 foot over him and lowered a line down. And he was able to fasten it to his chair. And they towed him back to the airport. Well, federal authorities were there. FBI was there. A great crowd was there to watch him come down. And as soon as he hit the ground, he was arrested for violating airspace. And there was some people there, reporters for newspaper. And one of them stopped him and she said, "Why in the world did you do such a thing?" And he stopped and thought a little bit. He turned and looked at her nonchalantly. He says, "Well, man can't just sit around." I told that story because it seems to be that that's what's happening in the church. That we sit around too much. A lot of activity going about us. But we sit waiting for something interesting to happen. Now, this was a true story. This was not a make-up story. This was a true story. I'd like to have seen and witnessed such a thing. But anyhow, I want to bring you some news, good news from the Old Testament. In Isaiah 1:18, we read, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." In Isaiah 2:1-5, this is what Isaiah son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the gods of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths.' The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. And they will beat their swords." Pardon me here. I had to copy the scripture off on something I could read. Now I can't get the pages apart. I got to do better than this. "And the pruning hooks. Nation will take up sword against nation. Will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob. Let us walk in the light of the Lord." Well, I didn't copy that last portion, but so we'll just stop where we are. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about a wonderful invitation from the Lord. And it can be found in our lesson that I read to you. It's found in the 18th chapter. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now in the first, from verse 2 through verse 17 of that first chapter, God is speaking kind of roughly, maybe more than that, very roughly, to the Jewish people, to his people. He was really telling them of the circumstances that they were in and how his wrath was going to fall upon them. He later tells them about what he's going to do for them, and they don't appear interested at all. They're like, "Well, I don't know." He said in verses 3 and 4, "The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. All sinful nation of people, loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. And if you read a little further, you'll see that the tension between Israel and God gets tighter and tighter and higher and higher. God even says in verse 16, when you raise your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. In other words, get your act together. And then all of a sudden, it seems that God changes his thoughts. And like he begins to think, Israel is my people. These are the people that I have chosen. And Noah's thoughts, oh, I have loved them, and how do I like to do for them? And he begins to speak with compassion towards the people. Verse 18, now I just read it, says, come now and let us reason together. Would you notice that this is not an invitation for a debate? God said, come, let us reason together. He didn't say, come, let us argue about this, or let us fight about this. This is time to be reasonable, to take a real look at the situation in your lives and where you are and where you are going if you stay on this track. You're off track. You need to turn from your wickedness. You need to turn from all these things that you have been doing. So he says to us, let us reason again. He says, you need to think about all of your life. How have you lived in sin? And I want you to consider how much more wonderful your existence could be if you decided to love me with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. I'm so amazed about people as they go through life. You know, without even thought of God, I can't understand people. I just don't understand. Just like this that you mentioned, Brother Wise, about this testimony this woman is going to give, how she was talked out of an abortion, and how this young man had grown up and made such a great athlete. People don't want to hear things like that. They want to live all to themselves. It's always self. To pleasure self. To do things for self. And they count no regard, whatever, for the future and what the afterlife might be. The world today just plays down hell. If you tell somebody they're going to hell, so what? No, they have no fear. Now is, you know, just what they're doing now, doing their own thing and this sort of thing. We have time to do what we want to do. We go to work 40, 50 hours a week. We do things with our family. We go to football games or other kind of games. And, you know, we just have fun with our family. But we leave out the most important thing, the most important person, I should say, the most important person, the personhood of God. We leave him out. And what a difference he makes in our lives. When he not only lifts the load of guilt from my heart, but He brings forgiveness and peace and joy and a love for life and assurance of what's going to happen in the future. And we as a church, we don't need to forget that. And it bothers me sometimes. I think that we live a life that is too like and slack in our obedience to God. God is serious. And the fact that we are not so serious, that doesn't change God. God is serious, and He wants us to seriously worship Him. And He says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this. Let me tell you all about what I can do for you. Let me tell you how I can lift the load of guilt from you. Let's reason about this. You're not going to get that serving the world. The world has nothing to offer you but heartache and such terrible things in your life. Satan gets his grip on us and gets us confused about it. And God wants us to talk about it. He said, put aside your sins and mistakes of the past. And let's be reasonable about it. I'm a jealous God, but yet I will reason with you and I will show you the truth. I'm not going to change when we talk. It's not up for debate. God is right. But He will consider what you are thinking. He will consider your thoughts and what you are saying. And He'll show you where they are wrong, if they are wrong. He will show you that you are on the track, if you're not serving Him, to a life that is wretched and miserable. Last year, I think I may have told it, but I had a fresh awakening from the Lord. I had gotten myself in a condition where I wasn't living as close to God as I should be. And God kept speaking to me. And one day, alone at the house, I began to pray. And I found myself down on the floor, stretched out before God. And I was weeping and crying. And I renewed my vow to God. And I have had such peace and joy. I think joy and peace are two of the greatest things that God can give you. I know some of you are going through worse things than I. Going through things. But that's how I have been able to deal with these things that have happened to me. God has given me peace. If I had completely lost my eyesight, God would have, but I was at peace with God and I would have stayed at peace with God. I would not have fretted about it. God can give you peace in whatever circumstances of your life you are in. And there's a lot of us that are facing sickness. We have sickness. And if we lose sight of God and lose the peace in our heart, fear and terror and all these things are waiting to rush in. But it don't have to be. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's talk about this thing. Let's talk about what's best for you and how you can overcome. God don't just take us up and move us to where things are better. He expects us to live through the circumstances that surround our lives. But He will give us perfect peace. I know so because I am experiencing it. And that's the best way that you can know something. I've had peace a long time, when I had my left eye removed, and the doctor, Dr. Brooks down in Tallahassee, was so alarmed about it. And he began to tell me, I said, "It's all right, Doc. It's all right." I had peace. And when he started to operate, he said, "Doctor, I want to pray for you." And I prayed for it. And I'm glad it did. But when he was doing that operation, he had a mass on his brain. He entered the hospital the next week. Was it cancerous, Lois? You remember? It was a cancerous mass on his brain. And God, and they removed it. And he was well. God just did a wonderful thing for him. As our time came in. Secondly, God's promises are not for someday. They are right for right now. Right now. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." In whatever circumstances your life is in, you can find God. Seek the Lord while he's found. He is already waiting for you to find him. If you've got a spiritual problem, seek him. Don't let things build up in your life. If you have a need, seek God and he will answer. Today. Seek the Lord today, not someday. There is I'm sure some of you have watched the video of Rocky Balboa, the prize fighter. What was that program called? But one time during this, he was practicing with Mr. T, and finally Mr. T just stopped him and he said to Rocky, "What in the world is the matter with you? If you don't get your head set right and get busy training, this guy, Mr. T, is going to beat you to death." And Rocky said, "Well, not today, maybe tomorrow." And his trainer got right in his face. "There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day that the Lord has given us. And we need to seek him." It may sound like that I'm thinking you all are sinners. I'm not thinking that. But I'm thinking some of you may have spiritual problems. It does happen. Some of us lose the grip on our faith. Some of us need to make new commitments. Some of us need to restore our relationship with God today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's just something that we cannot take for granted that we'll have it tomorrow. And the third thing I want to mention is that this is an invitation to a rich reward. Verse 19 says that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. Well, maybe you're thinking eating a good meal down at one of these. Go, huh? Yeah. At the Crystal. Golden Corral. I was trying to think of that dining place over there in East Cloverleaf. Well, what's so good? And we think, well, what is such a rich blessing for, you know? When you eat of the best of the land. But you have to remember when God was saying this. These people had gone through tough times. They had spent 400 years in Egypt. And then they spent 40 years in the desert, going round and round, and they fought wars against the Syrians and the Arameans. They didn't have the opportunity to sit down to steak and potatoes and a nice salad and French toast or whatever. They ate manna. And they longed for a time when they could sit down to a good meal. You just don't take things like that for granted. But God says, if we serve Him, we'll eat of the good things of the land. How many of you read Psalms 103? Sure you have. Sure you have. There's some interesting things about Psalms 103. And I'm just kind of go down and mention these. Verse 2 tells us, forget not all His benefits. And then it goes on to list His benefits. And so He is the one who forgives our sins. That's our life insurance. Who heals all diseases. That's our health insurance. Who redeems you from a life from the pit. That's your rehab program. And crowns you with love and compassion. That's your Sunday morning makeover. Then verse 5 says, who satisfies your desire with good things. Those are the perks. So that your youth is renewed like eagle. And that's your anti-aging program. And a lot of people don't know this, but when you have a personal relationship with God, He keeps you young at heart. And verse 6 says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And that is your union coverage. There are blessings that God wants to give everyone, every person in this room. In verse Isaiah 120, let me read it to you again. I hadn't read it to you, but let me read it to you. He said, if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So let us reason together. Reason with God. He'll explain it all to you. He'll tell you what your need is. He'll just open the book, reveal it all to you. And you might get so frightened, Lord, what in the world am I going to do? All you have to do is trust Him. Accept Him, and I'm sure that you have accepted Him as your Savior. And if you're tonight, if you're saved, you're sanctified, and there's something bothering you in your heart, all you got to do is give it to Him and leave it there. Leave it there. The song says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He is one who loves us, so if we're not where we need to be, now is the time. Clint and Elaine are going to come and sing for us, and then I'll close with prayer.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. Hear the voice that entreats you, oh, return ye unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you, oh, return ye unto God. He is of grace. Wondrous love is a voice.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence that we sense. And Lord, we lift our hearts to You that You may, and ask You that You would search our hearts. Lord, we just want to be all You want us to be. We want to be like You, dear Lord. And we can't do it in our own strength. It's only abiding in You, Lord, and letting the Holy Spirit move in our hearts and lives and lead us and to help us. And Lord, we need more of a positive approach towards sinners. We need to reach out to the world and bring the lost under the umbrella of Your love and Your salvation. Awaken the church to the need that is about us. Lord, help us to do better than what we're doing. And give us souls for the kingdom, we pray. Lord, we pray that You just open Your Spirit upon all people and work through these and work through this upward and in every effort as we reach out to our friends and neighbors and as we touch lives, that we'll attract people to You. Oh God, build Your church, Lord. Let us not hinder the church, but to be a part of the church that brings people closer to You. Thank You, Lord, for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.